Giant Radio, original podcast.
Hello, this is Manika and welcome to Chimes Radio. Today, we are going to talk about yoga. Yoga is a group of exercises which provides mental, physical and spiritual calm to those who practice it. It involves your heart, body and soul. We've seen people who have benefited a lot from yoga and led a happy, healthy life. Introducing yoga to kids is something parents want their children to do in an effective manner. Children are small. They need to be correctly conditioned to get to do yoga nicely. So to talk about it more, we have Daniela Matos here with us. Daniela is a KRS certified Kundalini yoga and meditation expert. She's also a YouTuber and she has also written a book, Satnam, Becoming Your Own Guru. Welcome to Chimes Radio, Daniela.
Hi, Monika. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
We are so glad to have you here. Daniela, as we spoke about a while ago, Chimes Radio is a channel for kids. So to start with, firstly, it's a very basic question. Many people want to know this. And for children's benefit, we want to understand the difference between yoga, meditation, and breathing exercises.
Yes, a question that not only the little ones perhaps have it, but also grown-ups. You know, like, so what is the difference? So as you said, Manika, yoga is union of body, mind, and soul. And that union, the unison, can be done in different ways. You can unite your body, mind, and soul through breathing exercises, through focused concentration, you know, like meditation, or through, for example, asanas, you know, positions, and many other ways, even like devotion, right? So yoga has many pillars, and one is meditation and focus and concentration. Another one is the breathing. Another one is the asanas. Another one is devotion. So they are all interconnected. One doesn't, the yoga in a way is all of those things. Is the breathing, is the focus and concentration, and is also the asanas. And they are also yoga on their own right, on their own. Breathing long and deep, connecting to your physical body, calming your mind and connecting to your heart, you're doing yoga.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And it indeed is a splendid answer to what I wanted to ask for children. Another thing, kids, you know, they are very naughty. Some of them are notorious. Some of them are quiet. So they are all different natures we can find in kids. So what exactly should be an ideal age for a child to start yoga and meditation?
So there is no right or wrong answer for this one. I think it will depend on the household as well. And I will give you a few examples. Yesterday, I received a phone call from a mother who never has done yoga, but has two children, 11 and 13, who keep asking her for yoga classes. So they're going to become like my private students, you know, because the mom doesn't want them to go to a studio or anything. She wants something like for them only, right? So this is an example of children who want to do yoga for one reason or another. They have this curiosity, but the household doesn't practice or perhaps doesn't have the time to practice. So they take them somewhere and they're starting at the age of 11 and 13. And that's fine. Another example is my household. I have two children. Mateo is 5, Isabella is 7, and I started practicing yoga when Mateo was a baby, like when he was born. So Mateo, for instance, has seen me practicing my sadhana, which is my morning practice, or even during the day, because when he was little, I wasn't waking up at 5 in the morning like I do now, you know. But nevertheless, Mateo only knows me by practicing yoga in my life. So he is a type of child that when he wakes up early in the morning, he knows I'm in my yoga room. He knows I am practice. He comes, sit down next to me, and sometimes he practices and copies me. There is no right ideal age. I think the parents will eventually notice that is yoga for the kids or not, or the kids will ask. For instance, in this pandemic that we are currently living through, if you're noticing that your child is becoming a little bit more stressed, overwhelmed, you know, can't sleep properly, yoga can be a great way to introduce, to give the child tools to manage their own stress. Because, and just giving an example here, Manika, but I came into yoga because I had a serious chronic pain, right? And when I understood that my body was literally complaining because it was so disconnected, the body, mind, the soul, that I was in so much pain, you know, that when I realized that and I found myself doing great, once I started having a routine of yoga in my life, I was like, oh, why wasn't I told that before? You know, so to follow a class that is a regular class, you know, I would say probably 3-4 years old when they can start following steps. But even when they are very little, like Mateo, that have a mom that practices yoga, just let them watch. So there is no ideal age. It depends. Each case is different.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And what do you think is the biggest challenge when you teach yoga to children, or meditation for that matter? Because kids like to go here and there. They tend to be thrown on one place and suddenly on the other place. So how to make them sit and focus?
Right. So we need to go in the pace of the child. You cannot get a 5-year-old to sit down and do a 12-minute meditation. Right. You need to build upon. So I would say, you know, when they start 3-4 years old, let's say that they start, you know, the parents decides to start at that age, make it fun. One way is a lot of the asanas are based in animals. You know, we have the cobra pose, you know, we have the eagle. I know they are all translations from Sanskrit, but that's how we do translate them to animal pose. A lot of them. So, and those that are not animal poses, you can just create a name, you know, to make it interesting. Because when they are little, especially up to 9 years old, I would create stories, you know, like, oh, we are in a field and we needed to ride our horses. And now everybody closes your eyes. And then I would teach the movement, for instance, spinal flex, you know. And we would be doing, you know, as if we were a horse in the field, you know. So I would make stories. And each exercise perhaps lasted 30 seconds, you know. If they get used to, then you can increase the amount of time. But I would make it definitely dynamic. Let them use their creativity. Perhaps even tell them, what does this look like? Is this like a horse or perhaps a dinosaur for Mateo a lot of times? So I would definitely try to bring this imagination to it, you know, create different names. We don't need to be attached to the proper names and teach to the kids. The other thing is I would make shorter, each exercise would be a shorter amount. So a session of yoga for a 3-4 years old could be as quick as 15 minutes. And then when you do breathing exercise for kids, especially when they are below 9, you know, anything between 4 or 5, I use actually the stuffed animals. I like to bring the stuffed animals to yoga. I put them in the belly, for instance, to teach breathing, right? So because the biggest problem with breathing that we have as a human society is that most of us breathe incorrectly. Right? My yoga teacher used to say 9 people every 10 people breathe wrong. We breathe too shallow. So one way to teach, and is a very beneficial for the children to learn how to breathe properly, is how you do a long, deep breath. And the way I teach is lay down, belly up, get a stuffed animal. Doesn't have to be big. Something that can stay in the right on top of the belly bottom of the child. And then you say, inhale, and make the mountain go up and the animal go up in your belly. Exhale, the mountain goes down and the little stuffed animal goes down. So we start doing three full cycles. So inhale and exhale one, inhale, exhale two, but very slow. And eventually they get good at it. They can manage to stay in that position. And we go from three long, deep breathing cycles to up to 15. You know, and this is going to be already like a 3 minute exercise, you know, if you do it. And the other way to teach breathing for younger kids below 9, especially, is to get literally a cup of water, a straw, and teach them how to do bubbles. So they learn how to do the exhale. And that makes it interesting to them, because which child doesn't want to make bubbles in the cup of water, you know?
Exactly. It's such a playful activity.
Right. And the exhale is so important, you know, because it's how we release. It's how we let it go, you know. So that's another way, as well as we play with feathers. We get feathers. You get an animal feather, you know, or even something that looks like a feather. And you can teach the child to do a strong breath that will actually bend more or less the feather as a whole, or you can do very subtle, quiet breath that we just move the very little thing, because the feather towards the end is like stiff. At the very bottom, which would be close to the skin of the animal, it's not stiff, it's very light. So if you do a very slow and a very gentle breath, you can only move that part of the feather, the lower part. So you can be playing, you know, and all this eventually takes time. And if you do these types of interactions with the breath, and then some asanas with the name of the animals, you can easily get to a practice of 15, 20 minutes for a very young child. And it will be all fun.
That certainly will be. And like when we talk about the breathing exercises, to what extent can we do that? Where can it become a little strenuous for the child and we must stop, you know, give them, let them relax? That's what I wanted to ask.
So there are so many types of breathing we can do. But until the child reaches puberty, until they become officially a teenager, I would really just work long and deep breath. So you might work the bubbles and make an exhale a little longer, or you can, you know, do the stuffed animal, but I would really just be working on the control of the breath from the long and deep type of breath. I wouldn't do rapid breathing, because rapid breathing, like a breath of fire in Kundalini yoga, is great. It's a cleansing breath, will, you know, cleanse your chakras, raise your energy. But we would do that only after you become a teenager. We wouldn't do that. Anybody below 12, 13 years old, I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay, is there a specific reason? Does it strain their physical parts?
No, it's more because it's not so much for the lung or anything. It's because until the child reaches puberty, the second chakra energy, it's quiet. And you don't want to wake it up before actually it's puberty, because that's the sexual energy. So when you work breath of fire, you have to pump your belly bottom. And we wouldn't want to do that if it's not yet the child is not mature for that.
Absolutely. And that's that. I really got the reason why.
Oh good.
right. And talking about the pandemic that you mentioned a few minutes ago, pandemic is taking a toll over everyone, especially children. The screen times have increased because they're having online classes, and then they play games, many of them. So a lot of screen time is there, and there's a lot of stress, no peer interaction happening because of that. So how does yoga, meditation, helps a child, I mean, specifically, and the family in general, parents and the kids, to create that balance?
Hi, Monique, we are living through a very unique moment in human evolution, and it's full of challenges. And my children, I'm going to particularly speak from my experience with my own children. My children get irritated if they get too much screen time. I cannot let my children. So when they were having online classes, it got to a moment that I contacted the teachers of my kids, and I said, Isabel is only doing mornings, because if she does morning and afternoon, it just doesn't work. You know, so it was very difficult for us. It's important to have opportunity to, especially when they don't have that choice, because some kids are older and they don't have a choice of not taking the full class, you know. I'll definitely do some breaks, and during those breaks, getting a few exercises. Literally, if you have a 5 minutes between classes, if the child can move and do some asanas together with breathing, it's going to help. Because what happens is we get that stimulation from the screen, and it ends up being unbalanced with the rest of the body, and we are not getting also the interaction with the peers. So what I kept telling my children, especially when we were very isolated, those first few months of the pandemic last year, I kept telling them that they are their own best friend. We need to befriend our soul. And I used to tell that to my children, you know, because in one way, that's what the pandemic, at least that's how I understand the purpose of this pandemic is to make us to go within. Is, you know, because the pandemic sent us to our home, our physical home. But another way to interpret that, it sends us home within our own heart. You know, it's an invitation to dive deeper within our own mind, body, and soul. So I think using even if a few techniques in between classes for kids that are older, the mind needs that break. The body needs to move, right? Because the body is seated all the time, you know, and the soul is starving for connection, and it's a great opportunity to reconnect to your own soul. So getting to do few exercises in between, be breathing or movement exercises, you know, asanas, it's important, very important to keep the balance that is being broken in a way, you know. So even if it's just a few, sit down in a cross-legged position and do some long deep breathing for older kids, or put some mantras. You know, we have so many beautiful mantras. Thank you to you all. Thank you to India. We have those beautiful, powerful sounds, you know. Take a few moments to sit down and listen to them, you know, and to bring some balance. And the other thing I always tell people, and then it's a little bit of more of the astrology side, since we are missing, we have been just, you know, a lot of us in the computer. Once you learn which elements from the astrology perspective, you more, you have a bigger strength. For instance, you know, my husband has fire and water very strong in his chart. So what do? We have plants in his office and we open the window all the time because we want to bring the air element in the earth element, because that will help in the balance. You know, I have 25% of each. So it's like,
it's a perfect balance.
It's a perfect balance. So that's why I used him as an example. But, and so is my daughter. My daughter is fire and water. So I always have a breeze. She always has plants, you know, so that's just another way of trying to make your surrounding more more balanced. Or if you are at home, walk barefoot if possible. You know, during those breaks that you have between classes, literally go to the asanas on the grass if that's possible. And if it's not possible, you know, then, you know, the water sound perhaps is interesting, that you can get a little water fountain that makes a little sound, you know, just trying to bring that balance with around you.
With the help of nature. Wonderful. Wonderful. Such an amazing insight. And the last question that I have for you is, as a family activity, how can we have yoga and meditation just imbibe it in our life? How can we do that effectively?
So the way that works in my family, okay, that's, I guess, the best example I can give you. We do have moments before going to bed that is like our moments. You know, we read together, and then we pray together, okay? And then we meditate together. And for the kids in particular, I like a meditation called Kirtan Kriya, you know, which we chant a very simple mantra, but the kids like it. It's also very dynamic. That's another thing about the Kundalini yoga that we like, because it is very dynamic. So it's not that you just sit it trying to concentrate, getting a 5 years old to concentrate, you know, in a breath or in a mantra or whatever. You're moving your fingers, you know. Sometimes there are some other meditations that you literally move your arms. And then we do that before bed. You know, and the other thing that we I like that my kids love and have been doing this for years is they go to sleep with a mantra playing very, very, very low. Because when we are going to bed, when we are getting to that stage where the brain waves are slowing down, when you are sleeping, you are in a meditation state in a way. So if you just put the mantra very low in a volume that is just possible to hear, the subconscious mind is picking that up, you know? So that's how I do it in my house. I guess some other people, if you have opportunity to do during the day, then obviously during the day, you know, or whatever fits your schedule. But having a small routine like that, either putting the mantra or doing the meditation before, you know, and that can be a solution.
That's perfect. Daniela, thank you so much for giving us this time and your valuable insights. When our parents and the children are going to listen to this, they're going to get a lot of benefit from what we've discussed today. So it was really lovely to have you on Chimes Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Monica, and have a great day.
You do have a wonderful day. All of us want a very happy family space, and we really are happy that we got this opportunity to speak to Daniela today. Thank you so much. Have a nice day, and I'll see you soon.